The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
And it's Friday, 4th of July weekend. How is everybody doing? We made it to the second half of the year. Yeah, it's July 1st. I just checked. Yesterday was a humdinger of the end of the first half. First quarter ended, and we start anew today. The same news that we left you with yesterday, and the world is reacting. UCLA and Southern Cal, they're going to the Big Ten. Last damn. Did I say damn on the radio? Last damn on the radio broke, and who's left? We will talk about it over these next couple of hours. LA Times talking about Southern Cal, and they needed to make a move. They called the Pac-12 decaying. I think they're being generous. And Brett McMurphy, he's with the Action Network. What's next for Notre Dame, SEC, and Big 12? You know, and I read Brett's article earlier. I said, I would really like to ask Brett some questions about that. And here he is, Brett McMurphy, one of the most knowledgeable people in the industry. Brett, good afternoon. How are you? Give us a reaction of these last 25 hours.
Well, the good old days of expansion taking several months or even years to happen is gone. Everything's instant today, and certainly USC and UCLA. I heard you talking about comparing this to OU and Texas. I agree with you. This is much larger than OU and Texas. This is you're going cross country. You're getting the LA market. It's certainly, if not that there was any doubt, Paul, but now it's so obvious. There's a Big Two and everybody else. Forget the Power Five. It's the Big Two and everybody else. And now everybody's scrambling to get in that Big Two. And multiple sources I talked to yesterday said, look, the Big Ten's not going to stop at 16. And other people I talked to said, if you think the SEC is just going to stand pat while the Big Ten makes all these moves, you're sadly mistaken. So it'll be fascinating to see where this leaves, But I remember in Destin at the SEC spring meetings when I talked to you there, I talked to one source, and at that time there was thoughts that the SEC would have a playoff, SEC-only playoff. And I said, well, if you guys kind of expand and have your own playoff, it'd almost kind of be like the NFL versus the AFL, the old days. And this person said, you're wrong. I go, what do you mean? And they said it would be the NFL versus the USFL. So I reminded that person of that quote yesterday, and then they said, okay, well, us in the Big Ten or the NFL and everybody else is the XFL. So, you know, this is huge for the future of college athletics, and, you know, where it ends up, nobody knows.
Brett, let's try to look at what's realistic out there. And we know what happened yesterday. Let me start with Oregon and Washington. I'll work my way across the country because there's conflicting stories out there that they want out. There's a story out today that says Big Ten says, hold on a second, you know, we have other fish to fry. What's your take on those two right now?
Well, certainly they are two of the biggest brands that are out there that are not currently in the Big Ten or SEC. And so that would be a possibility. Again, in the past, you would think, no way, there's a conference, you know, east of the Rocky Mountains is not going to add Oregon or Washington, but the Big Ten showed that anything's possible. So does the Big Ten try to now get, you know, two more teams out west to help USC and UCLA with travel and all those logistical matters? I think it's a possibility. And the fact that they say they want to stay in the Pac-12, well, of course they do. Everyone's going to say that until they leave the next day. You know, and make no mistake, you know, it's obvious, but USC, UCLA left because they're going to make at least double, maybe triple what they would have in media rights deals by going to the Big Ten. So I know, you know, no offense to the Action Network, but if somebody came to me and said, we're going to triple your salary, you know, would you listen to us? I'd say, yeah, absolutely. And that's what these schools are doing because they know what's on the horizon with NIL, pay for play with players. And they've got to go where they can make the most money.
Okay, let's move across the country, and I think this is where the dominoes start to fall. Give us the lay of the land on Notre Dame right now.
Multiple people I talked to believe, again, this is nothing I would report. I'll tell you what I'm hearing. It's not that I would report it as fact, but they strongly believe Notre Dame will end up in the Big Ten. And it's basically, you know, everything that made Notre Dame attractive for Notre Dame as an independent is slowly falling away. Its own network deal, more money than the conferences, access to the playoff. Those things, we don't know what's going to happen with the playoff, but those things are slowly falling away. And if the Big Ten could get Notre Dame, that would obviously be huge for that conference. They've wanted Notre Dame for a long time. The biggest unknown is, and various people have given me different answers, is what exactly is the buyout with the ACC? We know the grant of rights goes through 2036, but Notre Dame's only a member in the non-football sport. So how much is that grant of rights really impact Notre Dame? And then what would they pay to leave as a quasi-football member, even though they're not a football member? I would guess that whatever they're going to pay to leave because they are not a full member, they would make that up in 1 or 2 years in the Big Ten. So is that a consideration? I know longtime supporters of Notre Dame, people that have been there forever, say they will, you know, I would joke that the world will end first before Notre Dame joins a conference. Well, I may have to revisit that prediction because I tend to side with those people, and I think Notre Dame will join a conference. Would the, you know the SEC as well as anyone, Paul, does the SEC make a run at Notre Dame? Notre Dame's going to have several options, and they're the biggest golden goose out there.
Well, Brett, I think in response to what you said, I think the SEC would probably or has already sent Notre Dame signals. You know, if you're interested, sure, let us know. I mean, the SEC, you know the power structure. They don't go courting anyone, of course. But, yeah, it is well known, though, Brett, that Greg Sankey and Jack Swarbrick are friends. They worked together a year ago on the CFP committee. And I think because of all the heat that was delivered toward them as a result of OU and Texas, their relationship grew from that. Now, we also know Greg Sankey, who is mysteriously out of the public's eye right now, or maybe not so mysteriously, is in a precarious position. So, I mean, he doesn't need to call Jack Swarbrick. Jack knows where he is, and I think it's a matter of what Notre Dame wants. I agree with you. It makes all the sense in the world for them to stay in their geographical region, but I'm curious why, whenever the Big Ten has expanded in the past, Notre Dame has gone the other way. And I know the independence part, but you just think it's the fact that the money now is too good to turn down?
I do, Paul. And I think, you know, the ACC gave Notre Dame something that the other conferences wouldn't do, and that is full membership, and you don't have to be a football member, and all you have to do is play, you know, 4 or 5 football games a year against our league. None of the other leagues would do that. They wanted Notre Dame all in or not at all. And so that's why they went with the ACC. But now, I mean, the money's crazy. I mean, I think Sports Business Journal reported that Apple, which was out of the Big Ten media rights negotiations, now wants back in with LA, with the LA market intact. I mean, and if you add Notre Dame to that mix, you know, it's going to be a free-for-all. And, yeah, I just think the money is too crazy. And, of course, Notre Dame's not going to spin it that way. We're doing it for money the same way USC and UCLA didn't do it. But Notre Dame could spin it that, you know, that this is the best opportunity for our student-athletes and yada, 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 and also for the future of the playoff. Conferences are more important. And, I mean, they can spin it however they want. It boils down to money. But, actually, I think getting USC helps the Big Ten with Notre Dame because Notre Dame wants to play USC every year. And if that's part of their conference, that makes that a lot easier. And then there are obviously a number of Big Ten schools Notre Dame plays on a regular basis. But you're right. I think, you know, if the SEC has any interest in Notre Dame, you know, Notre Dame would be aware of it, and that goes both ways. And I think basically it boils down to what does Notre Dame prefer, the SEC or the Big Ten? I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, Paul. It's just whatever Notre Dame prefers as far as who they want to be partnered with for the next 50 years.
Which depends on the next move. So let's say Notre Dame goes either or, which you and many others believe they will. The ACC's really only chance of survival as a even a relevant, not a very relevant, but a relevant conference is with Notre Dame. So if you move that chip off the board, what's next for the ACC?
Well, this is where it gets tricky. I had someone tell me that they believe there's a clause in the grant of rights that if the ACC membership dips below a certain number, it basically makes the grant of rights invalid. So is that number, do they lose four schools, six schools, whatever? I think, you know, Clemson, Florida State, Miami, North Carolina, you know, go on and on, would be very attractive members if the SEC decides to go beyond 16. So if you have a large number of schools that leave that league and then there's no grant of rights, then, it's Katie bar the door. And then what happens with the ACC? The other question mark, it's kind of like, again, you've got the Big Two and then you've got the other three, the Pac-12, the Big 12, and the ACC trying to survive now. And they're trying to figure out what they want to do. I had several people within the Big 12 said, look, we're going to be aggressive. You know, we haven't been aggressive in the past and it cost us. So does the Big 12 now try to poach a couple of teams from the Pac-12? That's a possibility. The Pac-12, you know, literally 15 minutes before you came on the air, announced that their presidents, have decided that they will explore expansion options. So at this point, those other three conferences are doing whatever they can to survive. And I wouldn't say the next couple of years are going to be fascinating. I'll say the next couple of months are going to be fascinating, because I think that's how quickly this all will move with, the target date, probably 2024, 2025, when all these moves are made.
Okay, Brett, let me end here. And good for the Big 12 and the Pac-12, and they can pick up whatever table scraps they want. So within the ACC, there's a couple of spots perhaps available, maybe two, maybe four. We don't know. But in what order do you think the SEC, which schools in the ACC, in which order would the SEC be interested in?
Well, I would think, there's this kind of thought that there was this gentleman's agreement that the SEC would never add a school if there was already an existing member in that state. So I've been told that does not exist. That's an urban legend. So if that does not exist, then I would say Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina, possibly Miami, possibly, I think you're looking at the Duke, Virginia's in that range. But I think certainly Florida State, Clemson, Miami, and North Carolina would be my top four if the SEC decided to do that. And again, they're locked in until 2036 with the grant of rights, unless the grant of rights goes away because the membership dips below a certain number, if that is in fact accurate.
Brett McMurphy joining us. We appreciate it very, very much. We are here in for a long afternoon, and we hope you'll stick around. We'll try to unpack all of this with the best available guests, get a deep dive on what happened and what it could mean. Tom McMillan, who played the game at the highest level, now he's working to help it find its integrity. Good luck, Tom. Darren Heitner, one of the leading experts on NIL on the one-year anniversary. Mandel, he lives on the West Coast. We'll get his take on the Pac-12. And John U. Bacon, proud Michigan man, on what is going on in college athletics. And your phone calls. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
So we asked a question on Twitter. What's the one word you would use to describe where college athletics is heading? We'll share your thoughts later in the program. Q is up next in Deep Gap, North Carolina.
Good afternoon, Paul. It's been a while since we've chatted.
Hey there.
When is a decision in Johnson v. NCAA expected?
I think it's some time off, based on, I think, we had the amicus briefs filed, but I still think it's in the federal court.
It's in the hopper.
Yeah,
I've got a strong feeling Johnson will prevail.
Yeah,
and I think what that's going to produce is the ability to pay players similar to what they would get if they had part-time jobs in college. This morning, I waited 20 minutes in the McDonald's line because they were so short of help, and I asked the young man when I paid for my sausage McGriddle. What was going on? He said you couldn't hire anybody at $20 an hour. At that rate, Paul, they could pay every college football player $25,000 a year, barely make a dent in anticipated TV revenues, and it would take the pressure completely off of paying NIL money until kids had established 1 year in school, whether they are either recruits or transfers, and it would put an end to the bidding system using NIL to attract kids. I think NIL, how do you sell a name and an image if you've never played a down for that school? It's patently ridiculous.
Hey, Hugh, you got me confused here, and I apologize for not listening closely, but what exactly is a sausage McGriddle?
That is it's like a little muffin that has a piece of southern sausage with hot cheese on it. $1.40 at McDonald's, and it's the best damn breakfast to eat on the way to the golf course money can buy.
I like it. That sounds fine.
I waited 20 minutes.
20 minutes? For a McGriddle. Well, you could have gone to
a sausage McGriddle. Most people get it with eggs, but I don't like it with eggs.
You could have gone to Burger King and probably got it in half the time, but it wouldn't have been nearly as good, right?
Bingo. Now, here's the thing. I really liked what the lady from the Southwest Conference said. I think she's on the right track. I think big-time football is going to have to make a decision to go its own by itself with a corporate veil and look similar to the NFL exemption for the antitrust exemption they got in 61 to negotiate TV contracts as a single entity, maybe with different providers. But the truth is, we're going to see a cut line from universities that are willing to belly up $2.5 million for starters for their football personnel annually, and to meet the needs. And a whole lot of teams are not going to be willing to do that. And to that end, if we do go with a special entity, which I wrote you a letter about, and how I felt about that, one of the things we're going to see, I believe, is similar to the NFL. They're going to expect a balanced performance requirement that may let teams like Vanderbilt and Duke and Georgia Tech and any number of academic institutions that do not have a taste for professional athletics at the university level, it'll let them out of the game. I think she's exactly right. I think what's good for big-time college football is not really necessarily good for NCAA athletics. and it's time we got real about dealing with that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Hugh, and thank you for the call. I think what the commissioner said yesterday is where we're going. It's already a flawed system. Can you imagine you start adding to the super conferences that we have now with even more meat and weight and heft? Let's check out Steve in Texas. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Paul.
Hi, good afternoon.
First time caller here.
Wonderful.
Hey, man, okay, first of all, I don't understand why everybody's up, you know, is getting so excited about this, these two California teams coming over. What have they done lately, Paul? If I'm not too mistaken, when's the last time they even competed for a football national championship?
Well, Steve, I would agree. They haven't done much, but you.
But let me finish.
Well, you can't base everything on that. I know a lot of people in the South like to say, you haven't won a game yet. But here's the deal. SC made a dramatic move a couple of months ago by bringing in Lincoln Riley. He immediately brought one of the top two or three quarterbacks in the country. He brought one of the top wide receivers in the country. It's a program that is ascending. UCLA is not exciting at all, but they're just the dumpy little brother that goes along for the ride.
Okay.
What it also does is it makes the Big Ten a much more powerful conference. And if you're in an arms race and you're the SEC, you can laugh at the Big Ten if you want, but do it at your own risk.
Paul, you're getting Texas OU. It don't get much bigger than that.
Hey, Steve, what in the world's Texas done in the last 10 years, pal?
Well, obviously they beat USC in 05.
I tell you what, I am not a mathematician, but 05 is a little bit longer than the last couple of years. Good try, though. When was 05? 17 years ago? That's a Texan for you. We are coming right back with much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And welcome back. We continue more of your phone calls, and Matt is up next in San Antonio.
Hey, brother. How you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum? Look, I want to talk to you about a couple of things, and just hear me out. I don't think Notre Dame should go to the Big Ten. And I'm not saying it's a bad financial move. It's a great financial move. But here's my reasons why. This is one thing I'm talking about. They can't compete in the Big Ten, Paul. Who rules that conference? Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State. They're not going to be able to beat those teams year in and year out because they don't got the personnel on the field for it. They don't got the talent. And they're just going to get run over in the Big Ten. Their best shot of winning a conference is the ACC. Because who rules that conference, Paul? Clemson, Miami, and maybe Florida State, but they're a joke anyway, so let's just leave them out of this. Their biggest hurdle is they got to go through Miami and Clemson. They beat Miami, they can easily beat Clemson and win that division. And my last thing I want to talk to you about, Paul, is OU and Texas A&M. OU and Texas A&M are going to win the conference, the SEC outright when they first join. They're not. They're a little fish in a big ocean full of sharks. You got Saban, you got Kirby, Lane Kiffin, Arkansas, A&M, LSU, and Auburn, and the Pirate, Mike Leach. They're not going to be able to beat all those guys year in and year out. The Big 12 is different from the SEC. The SEC is a different animal. Stronger players, faster players, better coaches. And as for A&M, I get what all you say. We're not going to do good. I get why you say it, Paul. I respect your opinion. I hope I'm wise like you if I ever get this job someday. But the reason why we went 8-4, I'm not bashing Zach Calzada. He was great last year, first in the Alabama game. He didn't get a free beer every time he goes to the college station. But the simple fact is, we didn't have the offensive line. Our defense let us down. We should have lost some games that we should have won last year. That's not the case this year. We have a better offensive line. Our defense is a little bit weak. Yes, we have a new defensive coordinator. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be. But because our offensive line is stronger this year and the defensive line a little bit weaker, we're not going to go lose those games we should have lost one last year. And I wanted your thoughts on it.
Thank you very much. I must say I haven't given too much thought to the season over the last couple of days. Pat is in Georgia. Hey, Pat, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, thanks. I want to ask you about grant of rights in the ACC, but my choice from the ACC in this order would be Clemson, North Carolina, Virginia, and then Miami. And I think Notre Dame will end up in the Big Ten for all the obvious reasons. But is there something different about the ACC's grant of rights that has a nuance or a hook in it that is not the same with TV money from the rest of the Power Five conferences?
Yeah, I don't know what's in there. Remember, they just did a new deal. And part of their deal with ESPN was predicated on the ACC network being launched. And if you remember, that was launched with great fanfare. That was 3 years ago.
And it flopped. And it was the worst rollout I've ever seen, I'm sorry to say.
It was pretty underwhelming.
Yes, it was. Now, I listened to Rick Neuheisel this morning.
What did he say?
Well, he was interested. I mean, he was interesting. I think he would be a fantastic guest on your show because he knows all about UCLA. I don't need to go in. You know, coach, player,
sure.
Student, and at USC. And he has an encyclopedic knowledge about the Pac-12. He suggested that the Big 12 and the Pac-12 may join together to create a big three or maybe a big two.
Well, Pat, they almost have to, and good for them if they do. It's a good football league if you like, but it's not. And thanks for the call. But you know, even if you get the Pac-12, so you have Oregon, you have Washington, you have Utah. You've got Oklahoma State and Baylor. I mean, it's nice. Okay, it's a lot of basically in the parlance of Hollywood, a lot of really good character actors. No stars. Let's check out Joe in Georgia. Hey, Joe, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
What a crazy week it's been, and it's insane, isn't it? What's been going on with conference realignment?
Yeah, I mean, what was interesting about last year is that nothing much happened after that, and you knew something. You knew there was going to be a reaction, not to go Newton's law here, but it finally happened yesterday. And I talked to a lot of people yesterday and last night and today. Nobody saw this coming. Okay, I mean, I'm sorry. You may have thought something could have happened, but this really was quite a move by Kevin Warren in not so much accepting the phone call, but keeping it quiet. That's hard to do.
For sure. I think it's kind of funny because I remember calling in pre-COVID, and we actually had a discussion about SEC expansion and kind of tossed around the idea of Texas and OU, and we talked about the Longhorn Network. So it's kind of cool to see how from that conversation and on till now, how much has changed in the college football landscape.
But Joe, if you look at Texas alone, and you know, we don't need to talk about Oklahoma. They've wanted in the SEC for years. Texas
right.
Didn't. I follow this league. I wouldn't have thought until right before that happened a year ago that Texas would come in, because I thought their attitude toward the SEC academically and elsewhere was not going to work. But they looked at the SEC and realized that's where the action is, and that's what you're hoping happens now. And you know, I don't know what the SEC's shot at Notre Dame is, but it's probably better than you think.
Sure. So I guess I had one quick question to ask you real quick, and I'll just kind of be quiet and listen to what you have to say. But with what's going on in college football realignment and what we saw the other day with USC and UCLA, do you think, I mean, just with the way the Big Ten was talking about before all this happened, they were like, basically, we're not going to actively pursue any kind of conference realignment. They kind of sat back on their heels and listened to any conversations that came through. Do you think that we're making a little bit too much overhype with conference realignment, thinking that's going to turn into like a Cold War-esque arms race between the SEC or the Big Ten? Or is this the dynamic shift that's going to start happening and dominoes are about to start falling?
I think the dominoes are going to start falling. And let me make it clear, whenever you hear someone say we're not interested, that's all legal mumbo-jumbo. I mean, if you remember the interview, hopefully you've forgotten it, because we had an interview with the commissioner last year at Media Days, and it wasn't his fault, but there was nothing he could say without putting himself in harm's way. So, you know, I don't know if he should have given interviews or not, but he was at Media Days. That's what he does. So you can't say we are going – if you're Kevin Warren, you can't say, we're going after Oregon. You can't say that.
Right.
And, you know, what happened was – you always hear this. Well, the presidents at Oklahoma and Texas reached out. The presidents at UCLA – and SC reached out. Let me tell you how that works. The president, you know, somebody gets the germ of an idea. It starts percolating. You employ a middleman, and I'm pretty sure I know who the middleman was in LA. Very powerful, incredibly powerful individual who has ties to one of those schools. He starts talking to intermediaries in the media world. And then when everything is comfortably set, then you make the perfunctory phone call to the commissioner. You use a third party, in other words, a law firm, so there's plausible deniability. That's exactly what happened a year ago, and that's exactly what happened most recently. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Late on a Friday afternoon, 4th of July weekend, Jim is in Richardson, Texas. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you taking my call. Just kind of haven't had a lot to do here. I'm recovering from knee replacement surgery here for about 3 weeks.
Oh, my.
But I've enjoyed watching your show.
Thank you.
First-time caller. Wonder if you just grant me a little latitude here. I'm in my mid-60s. I have followed, of course, I'm being here in Texas. Went to Texas Tech, so big ties to the Southwest Conference. My dad, my brother, Texas people, a lot of A&M family members as well. In watching all of this develop through the years and so forth, and watching these teams move kind of funny. I mean, my wife and I have kind of become Alabama fans over the past few years. We both, like I said, we both went to Tech, but we just have enjoyed watching SEC football just because of the competitive nature of it. But when you go back now, when you have with these, when you basically are going to have two major super conferences, what is to stop these teams, the other conferences, from basically coming together and say forming another faction based off the NCAA and saying, okay, you have your national champion. Well, you know what? We're just going to break away from it, and we're going to have our own national champion. What's to stop that?
Well, nothing. I mean, that could easily be done, and they could claim it. It's a little bit like this LIV Golf Tour right now. I haven't watched it, but I know who's on it, and we're talking about legitimate players, you know, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson. I mean, these are all guys who have won major championships and could win them again. But I don't really care what's going on. I'm not going to go stream a golf tournament when I can flip on my TV and watch a regular PGA event. And I think the same thing would happen here. Yeah, I mean, if you're a Big 12 fan and Tech's playing in a conference championship game, you're interested. But No. I'm watching Alabama and Southern Cal play.
Right. And that's kind of the way I have kind of gotten over through the years, is that, yes, I want Tech to do well, but I'm realistic about it. And so it's one of the things too. And personally, you know, even with Texas going to the SEC, I don't know that they're going to do any better than what A&M has done through the years. But it's hard to say. But it's just, I know a lot of
Jim, ultimately, I mean, if your son or grandson is a football player, a good football player, but maybe not a five-star all world, that's probably a better thing for him to do. Go play and have fun, be competitive, and you know, do whatever you do, and versus, you know, going to a place like Alabama and being a walk-on. So it's really what you want.
I absolutely agree with you on that, but it's just a real interesting, you know, concept about, okay, well, where do you draw the line? But I appreciate you taking my call. Very much enjoy your show, and thank you very much.
Thanks, and continued best on your knee replacement. But I put that one off a long time. Hold it. Every time I bend down, I'm like going, is this going to be the big one where I? So far, have you had a knee replacement?
No.
Okay. Well, you're an athlete, or you haven't done enough to strain your knees. Alex is in Charlotte. Hello, Alex.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for having me on. Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
I was raised an Oklahoma fan. I live currently in Charlotte, but I'm a big Sooner fan. I know a lot of people seem really surprised and shocked with the conference realignment. Coming from a Big 12 fan as a child, I'm not too surprised. When four teams left back in 2012, as a Sooner fan, I kind of felt like it killed the Big 12 then, and it was only a matter of time until something happened. I don't know. I mean, and I know that you said that we're kind of going to these two super conferences, which I agree with, but I just feel like as a Sooner fan, I don't know, it's just felt like it's been something in the making for over 10 years now, as opposed to just started this past year. And
well, you know, you're right, because if you go back to, I think, 2010 and 11, the Sooners were in play, and A&M was in play back then when the Big 12 was thinking about a merger with the Big 12. The Pac-12 and the Big 12. So, yeah, it's been Oklahoma has been on the doorstep of the SEC for quite a while, and because it was always a natural fit. I remember 6 or 7 years ago, I picked up something and went with it on this show, and Joe Castiglione shot it down like I was some, you know, waif trying to sell them out. But I understand that. I mean, I knew for a fact there had been contact. And I also knew for a fact that he would deny it, but they just needed a partner. I think they would have preferred Oklahoma State. That was not going to work. They got Texas, which is a pretty major partner. So here we are. We are 1 hour in. There has not been a lot of news today. I know a lot of you putting on the car radio on your trip to the lake or beach. You know what's happened today? Not a lot. We're still analyzing it and trying to figure out what the next moves are. We are also 1 year in on NIL, and we'll be talking to some people about the impact that has had on the game, including one of the great basketball players of all time coming up next. Really interested in getting Tom McMillan's view of what is happening to college athletics.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.